The scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34. In the New Revised Standard Version, you may follow along on page 933 in the Pew Bible. Now, in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For to begin with, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. Indeed, there have to be fractions among you, for only so will it become clear who among you are genuine. When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. For when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry and another becomes drunk. What? Do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you. For I received from the Lord that what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If you are hungry, eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for your condemnation. About the other things, I will give instructions when I come. May God bless the reading, hearing, understanding, and applying of his holy word. Amen.
Nancy, thanks for being our scripture reader this morning. So here we are today, Eden Church, gathered together in a family meeting, so to speak. Everyone is here in one service instead of our regular routine of two congregations gathering at 8 and 10:30. We're here today as a family, but we're not here for a business meeting, though we have those from time to time, and we vote on budgets and officers and the like. We're here today not to vote on any matter in particular, but simply to check in and to remember that we're all on one team. We're all a part of one family. It's good that we can be together today. And so our worship service is kind of like a team going into the locker room at halftime. The coach and the players have a brief window where they can stop from the pace of the game and sit down and discuss, how are things going? How have we done well in the first half of the ball game? Where do we need to refocus and re-energize ourselves so that we might have a good second half? It's an opportunity in that locker room for the team to catch their wind and then to return to the court ready to play the game with all of their heart. And so we gather here today. I'd like you to think about our assembly, our worship, as kind of like that locker room on halftime. So I'd like to ask you a couple questions. How are we doing? How are we doing as a congregation? In other words, are we healthy? Are we a people that are serving God and serving each other well? How would we know the answer to that? Maybe a better question to ask us, to ask how we're doing, is to ask, how are our relationships with one another? Are they healthy? Are they sound? Are they solid? Or are there issues and matters and difficulties that damage the unity of God's family? And what might we need to do to pursue healthy relationships together? Well, this morning I want us to think about that. How do we pursue healthy relationships when we come together? And I'd like us to do that today by looking into one of the most unhealthy churches in the Bible, the church in Corinth. Nancy read our scripture today, which is from chapter 11, but if you've ever picked up your Bible and started working your way through 1 Corinthians, you find a church that is being addressed by its founder, by Paul and his missionary team, because they're a church in trouble. They're a church in conflict, a church that needs to turn the ship in a different direction. So, for example, Our first reference to the letter is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. It's up on the screen where Paul writes to them, "I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ." So he identifies that this is a group of Christians, but they have little to show for the work that Christ is doing in their heart and in their soul. He goes on to say in that same chapter in verse 3, "For you're still of the flesh." That is, you're still driven by your impulses and your desires and your appetites. "For while there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way?" He's saying, you guys, because of the conflicts and the difficulties that are there, you're acting just like the rest of the world instead of God's people, God's family. And then in verse 18 of chapter 11, the scripture that we've read today, Paul, as he's focusing his attention in chapter 11 on this matter of communion, he says, "For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part." So what we have here is a church in Corinth whose relationships need work. There are conflicts. There's us versus them. There are difficulties in people working through matters of disagreement. And it needs to be dealt with for the unity of God's people and the greater good. What we can take away from this is that there are a time when God's people can lose their way, that when a great conflict can arise amongst a church like that in Corinth, causing strain and difficulties on relationships. And the question is, what do you do with those strained relationships? You guys know a little bit about this. This month is our 2-year anniversary that we had our vote as a congregation about whether or not to remain in the United Church of Christ. And for those of you that were there and walked with us through that, you remember there was a lot of strain in our body here as we had debates and discussions about the pros and cons of that matter. It was a difficult time before the vote and even after the vote as we began to refocus on what's right. Because, you know, frankly, there was some people here who stopped listening to each other, who stopped loving each other. There were unresolved conflicts and anger and frustration and fear. Now, I think we've come a long way. But I think in many ways we could sympathize with what happened in Corinth. It's easy to see how conflicts can rise up and cause difficulties in our relationships. So how do we address conflict and move forward in unity when it comes again? How are we to do the work in our lives and in our hearts to make sure we're dealing with relationships and difficulties well. How can we get unstuck when our relationships need work? The answer, I believe, is the focal point of the scripture passage that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. It's the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, or in some Christian circles, it's the Eucharist. It's a Greek word meaning to give thanks for. And we, of course, we give thanks for the Lord's table as we come and celebrate it in our congregation. But Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, is the time when God's people gather together and collectively tell the story of Jesus in our sharing, in our service, in our receiving. So how is it that to a church in conflict like Corinth, the place of the Lord's table can become a place of healing? How is it that for you and me, we can find this monthly reminder of the grace of God, a great catalyst in our lives to make sure that we're dealing with relationships and challenges and difficulties in a good way? That's what I want to explore with you this morning. And I'd like to start by reminding everyone that, first of all, this is the only place in the New Testament where are any instructions come from the apostles about the Lord's Supper. We have it referenced when Jesus did it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but none of the other scriptures reference the taking of communion. And so we start here with Paul's instruction in 1 Corinthians 11. And I want to show you, first of all, Paul's understanding of the purpose of the Lord's table. Paul says, as he's giving his instructions to the church, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That communion is a time that we together proclaim Jesus as we come and remember his sacrifice and remember his life and take the elements together. And this is in keeping with what it means to be a Christian, because you as a believer, you as an individual follower of Christ, are to proclaim Jesus in the way that you live your life at home or in the workplace or in the school system, as you're shopping, as you're interacting with people. If we are doing it well, if we're doing it in a relationship that's honoring to God, we as individuals will declare that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. But there's something special about that coming together when the God's people assemble as a family, one family at the table. And we collectively state today, as we do every first Sunday and Easter Sunday and Christmas Eve and Maundy Thursday, we proclaim the Lord Jesus until he comes again. So we see this throughout the New Testament, right? This concept that we are together to live in such a way that we do a good job bearing witness to Jesus. In fact, that's why Jesus gave commandments, a commandment in the scriptures there in John 13. It's up on the screen. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. So we're called to live in a way collectively, interpersonally, so that we point people to Jesus. And the purpose of this meal is for us to come together in the right mindset, the right focus, and take communion, not because we just have to do it, but it's a way that we bear the burden of proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. That's the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Well, now we are introduced to the problem. What is it that the Corinthians were getting wrong? Well, the Corinthians were acting pretty selfishly when they came together. The scripture says, for when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry and another becomes drunk. What? Do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you. So Paul is identifying a level of selfishness, of self-centeredness that lay at the heart of this family of God's people in Corinth, where people were divisive, people were selfish, people were drawn to people that thought like them and acted like them, and so they conducted themselves in a way that didn't show unity, but it showed disunity. It didn't show love, it showed self-absorption. The idea here is we get like this, we become like the Corinthians when there's more of us and less of Jesus in our hearts. One of the ways that we know that we're being driven by our sinful nature is the way we relate to other people. Is there unresolved conflicts? Is there unforgiveness in our hearts, in our lives? Is there a brokenness, an inconsistency between what we say with our mouth and how we live in our relationship to one another? That's what Paul is attempting to address, the problem in Corinth. Now, our communion, we do it formally. It's not a potluck like it was for them. We're not going to have enough wine for you to get drunk, so some of this may seem irrelevant. But the relevance to us today is that we hear in the Lord's Supper the call to live not for ourselves, but for one another. So how do we do that? How do we confront an attitude of self-absorption, of self-centeredness? How do we dislodge that thinking from a congregation of people? Well, the answer is by proclaiming God's word, and that's exactly what Paul does there. He announces to the congregation in his writing, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" What he's rehearsing there is the betrayal, the arrest, the crucifixion, the death of Jesus Christ, the shedding of the blood of the Son of God for the new covenant between God and his people. Paul is reminding us, reminding the Corinthians, that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, stands as a peacemaker between God the Father and the sinful people that make up the Corinthian church, the people that make up God's family. He's reminding them again of their standing before God at the cross. He also stands as the peacemaker, Jesus does, for you and me and God. When we understand that, when we remember again in the breaking of the bread and the taking of the cup, the high price that God paid for the forgiveness of our sins, it gives us a different perspective in the way that we deal with our relationships with other people. We love because he first loved us. We forgive others because we have experienced God's forgiveness. We pursue reconciliation with even our enemies because we remember that we were enemies of God until we were brought into God's family by the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul here is hoping to correct this group, their understanding, by rehearsing the gospel with them. But he offers also another application point, and I'd like to look at that with you for just a moment. It's some teaching here from the apostle where he says, "Whoever therefore," and this is in light of what I just said, that communion is all about Jesus, "whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and the blood of the Lord." Notice that word answerable there. It's a word of accountability. Some versions translate that Greek word enokos as guilty. You'll be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. This is pretty serious stuff. This means to take communion in an unworthy manner is to be guilty. When we need forgiveness, when we rehearse the meal that reminds us of God's forgiveness, we are actually putting more and more guilt on our lives because of how we take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Now, Paul gives this warning here that the table of the Lord is a sober time. It's a time to take serious all that Jesus has done for us and the call of repentance on our hearts by God. That call of repentance is not just to turn away from sin, but it's also to turn away from pride and unforgiveness and uncharitable attitudes toward those that we stand in conflict with. The Lord's table, when we do it every month, becomes a regular reminder that we're to take serious what it means to live at peace with God and at peace with each other. So Paul lays out this teaching here so that God's people understand what they are to be doing when they come to the Lord's table. So what is that? What are we to pursue as we come to take communion this morning? Paul's words up on the screen, verse 28, we are to pursue self-reflection. We're to examine yourselves and then only eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Examine yourselves. Our job, our responsibility as we come to dinner is to look in our hearts and look in our lives and say, how am I doing? I asked that question of us as a church at the beginning, how are we doing? But that answer really lies in your heart and in my heart. How am I doing? We're called to examine ourselves. Now, another thing that we're called to do as we think about this self-examination is to consider verse 29. All who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. We're supposed to be discerning the body when we take communion. Now, what does that mean, to discern the body? So some would say that has to do with making sure we understand what the body of Christ, the bread, is all about. In fact, our congregation has a long tradition of not allowing children to take communion until after confirmation, because they understood this command to discern the body means to really know what communion is about. But I'm not sure that's the best interpretation there. In light of the conflict that was going on there in Corinth, in light of the divisions that were taking place, I believe the body that we're to be discerning is not so much the wafers that are right there as much as the body of Christ that's right here. See, you and I, when we put our faith in Christ, we become part of the body of Christ. And so when I am coming to the Lord's table, I need to be looking not only at the elements up here up front, but I need to look at my family of believers around me. How is my relationship with my brother and sister across the aisle, in front of me, behind me? This is why it's good that we come together at combined services, because we see our body in totality. This is a time to examine ourselves and do that work that needs to be done before we take. That's why in the bulletin, friends, you'll see this announcement on the Sunday prior to communion. Hopefully you've seen it, paid attention to it. It says, prepared for communion. The Eden Church congregation will be sharing the Lord's Supper next Sunday. In keeping with biblical teaching, we should prepare our hearts by examining ourselves, confessing our sins, restoring our broken relationships, and seeking peace with each other. Prayerfully examine yourselves this week. Do the necessary work of reconciliation and come receive the blessing of the Lord's Supper. I believe this is the spirit of what it means for us to discern the body when we take communion. See, Paul gave his instructions to the Corinthians that they might pursue the right attitude at the Lord's table. And his instructions to them are appropriate for us today. Every month, we come to the Lord's table. It's time for us to do a gut check. It's time for us to evaluate where we stand with God and with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. So I would like to challenge us today to take serious the teaching of the apostles, to hear as we come to the Lord's table the call of God to stop, to think, to look within, to look in our lives, to listen to the Spirit's leading, and then to take the Lord's Supper, working on those relationships that need the work of the Lord. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of my message that 2 years ago when we had our vote, it was a time of stress and strain on some of our relationships with one another. I'm very thankful that our congregation sought the help of John Richardson and Alan Miller from Level Path Ministries. Many of you remember they were here for 2 weekends and they taught us about how to seek peace with one another. When John and Alan wrote their report to our congregation about things we needed to work on, they recommended that we form a team of people that could be trained and prepared so that we could help our brothers and sisters work on the conflicts, the relationships in our midst. I'm happy to say that we have a Shepherds of Peace team. Here we are about a year and a half later. Most of us have been through a lot of training and are learning and seeking and ready to help you to understand how to share the work of the gospel in your relationships as you deal with those tensions and conflicts and difficulties. We want to be able to stand with you and to help you to do that work of stopping, of thinking, of looking and working on your relationships so that you can come to the Lord's table ready to receive the blessings of Christ. But remember, folks, the responsibility is yours. Today and every Communion Sunday, it's like going out into the garage and popping the hood of your car and checking the oil and checking your brake fluid and just making sure, am I okay or do I need to do something to make things right? That is to be our heart as we come to the Lord's table, one family at the table. To that end, I'd like to invite you to bow your heads for a moment, and I'm just going to pray that God help us to do that work this morning. Oh God, you know all things. You know our hearts, our lives, our past perfectly. May your Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. Give us ears to hear as you call us to be at peace with you and with those around us. I ask and I pray that we would be a congregation that as we come to the Lord's table, that we truly do what it's about, that we can proclaim in unity and love that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Help us this morning as we come to the Lord's table, to do that work in our lives that we must do to be faithful to your gospel. For we ask this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.